Well, that's the simplest way to phrase these questions. But as we go on from there, of course, these questions can get much more complicated because we simply interweave every single part of Scientology and get the individual to pick out some kind of a viewpoint by gradient scale which he wouldn't mind observing or wouldn't mind experiencing. Now, as we go on a little further from this, we find out some efforts you wouldn't mind engaging in. Some efforts you wouldn't mind having leveled against you. Some thinking you wouldn't mind doing. Some things you wouldn't mind thinking about. Better question. Some things about you wouldn't mind people thinking. And so forth. In other words, you throw him into the centers of those viewpoints. As what? First as cause and then as effect, which is, of course, then obeying the entire communication chain. C to E being the definition of communication, cause, distance, effect. So, give me some people you wouldn't mind looking at you. And you'll finally get him down to give me some things now you wouldn't mind eating, and some things you wouldn't mind being eaten by. You see, cause to effect. Let's get the action involved in it. But how complicated would you have to be with this straight wire? Well, you wouldn't have to be very complicated. You can actually take the first lineup, which I gave you, and just play that over and over and over and over and over, and you'll clear up the fellow's bang and turn on his sonic visio. That's not an idle promise. I've been working with this process. And at first, when I was using the process, it was so complicated that I rather despaired of an auditor using it, since it took into consideration the many considerations of the preclear, and finally just broke it down to a point where it no longer took into consideration any of the considerations of the preclear, and so it became a simple enough process to put out, and a process which could be used to advantage. Now you go over and over and over this, and the whole object of it would be to bring the preclear into a higher tolerance of viewpoints. And of course, this will eventually fish him out into having some space. You accomplish all the goals there are just by that highly permissive, quiet approach. Now, if you don't think this will turn on some somatics, you're quite mistaken. If you don't think it won't turn on some aberrations, you're also mistaken. It's liable to turn on some very, very vicious ones, because your preclear will immediately determine that you are asking him these questions in order to beat him into apathy. And his first acceptance of any viewpoints will be an apathetic acceptance. He'll suddenly conceive that you're just asking him, all right, I'll give up and abandon all the fight every place, and all right, so I will look at my mother. All right, I don't mind looking at my mother. I don't mind looking at my mother punishing me. You're pushing him right straight through the tone band. Now, an auditor using this process shouldn't kick the bottom out from the preclear. And if he tries to press the preclear too hard and push him around too hard, he'll really produce this apathetic reaction. You're inviting the preclear to look at things which he ordinarily would find intolerable. And you're just going in there a little deeper and a little further and a little further and a little further, and you're just inviting him to do this and to do that and to look at this and do that. And your goal is, without directing his attention toward any specific thing, that's the one thing you leave alone with this process. Don't direct his attention to anything specific. Let him pick up what he picks up, good, bad, or indifferent. Why, you will find him eventually looking a red-hot electronic or an atom bomb in the teeth and saying, yep. Yeah, viewpoint of my town being wiped out by an atom bomb. Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's pretty bad, be radioactively burned that bad. Yeah, I guess I could experience that. You just search a little further occasionally and ask him, well, how would you like to experience such a thing? And he'll say, oh, no, no, no. Now, you'll find out that he will run into one which isn't on this scale, a viewpoint of aberration. People try to make space with aberration. And he will run into this sooner or later and tend to fixate on people who have made a lot of space with aberration. Particularly, this fellow's an auditor. He's liable to fixate on aberration and look constantly and continually for aberration rather than to realize that 99% of living consists of non-aberrated conduct. It's the fact that a culture gets stuck on the remaining 1% which invites a person to plumb only into that 1%. But if he does, he's overlooking the bulk of living. Just because you were part of a culture which had a taboo against touching banyan trees would be no reason for you then to exclusively process the touching of banyan trees. You see that? If you went into the mugwumps in lower Catatonia, you wouldn't find very many customs which made good sense to you. So you would consider all these customs as aberrated customs, and you would be very likely prone to process out these strange, weird, and fantastic customs. And these would demand your interest to such a degree that you would overlook the fact that even the mugwumps are doing a lot of things which are a lot of fun and which they enjoy doing and so forth. In other words, if an auditor looks at aberration only as a part of conduct, he is not really clearing up the life of the individual at all. You want to get his attention off of aberration rather than get on it. But people make space with aberration. And an auditor tends to fixate on such people because those people evidently can make space and certainly have made space in the past when there was no remedy for their aberration. They said, boy, is it safe to be aberrated? There's no cure for it. Now, you've done a terrible thing. You come along and told the fellow that he isn't safe being aberrated anymore. You're going to cure him. Of course, his primary impulse, if he really realized what he was doing, would be to knock you off. You're spoiling his game entirely. All right, as we go over this straight wire, we find out that many other items could be added into it. An auditor could use the ARC triangle. Who could you like? What wouldn't you mind agreeing with? What could you agree with right here? What could disagree with you? Just that. And you would get the reality and the affinity sides of the communication triangle. Now, you could get fancier than that. You could get up to a point of, who wouldn't you mind hating you? Who wouldn't you mind hating? With hate and so forth is usually a non-acceptable viewpoint. But as soon as you start going out terribly wide with this and including all the other elements that you can think of and so on, it gives you quite a repertoire, but you had better not get too complicated because it'll stop producing results for you out there in about the third or fourth echelon. So you stick along with the ARC triangle, the notice X scale, and primary principles such as duplication. Well, wouldn't you mind duplicating? Let's look around and find something you wouldn't mind duplicating at the moment. And stick close to home, in other words, with such things as the dynamics. Now, let's take this whole thing and run it against the dynamics. We discover that we have in any one of the no to sex scale, we have 8 dynamics at every level. We have the effort of sex and the effort of God at the effort band. You see, the complexities of life are made up from the fact that you have 8 dynamics at each level of the no-to-sex scale. See, there's knowing about sex. There's knowing about spirits. There's knowing about... This is all in the knowingness band. It doesn't necessarily know about these things. It doesn't take you into the dip on further condensation. You simply know about these things, that's all. Perfectly at liberty to know about anything you want to know about. There isn't anything damaging about knowing. And then we go into look, and of course, you can look at anything on the 8 dynamics. So you've got 8 dynamics there. Look. But remember that look includes lots of perceptions, other perceptions. Even though sound dives down to symbols. See, sound, hearing, a transfer, communication of symbols goes way on down the bottom, the band there. Nevertheless, actually belongs in the field of perception, which is at look. See, here, Look, hear, these things go together. The hardest thing there is to turn on in a case, lookingness turns on long before sonic. And sonic is the hardest thing there is to turn on in a case, because an individual will turn it off. So we mustn't neglect in this straight wire process such things as sound. All right, what wouldn't you mind listening to? What sound wouldn't you mind making? What sound would it be all right for you to make? So forth. What sound would it be all right for you to hear right now? And you pursue that course of questioning for a while, and you will find an individual's ears will hurt and pop and snap, and various things will occur, and it's sonic. Liable to turn on. But of course, if you haven't hit the rest of the band, his sonic won't turn on. You see, you've got a lot of things there he's afraid of looking at and afraid of hearing. He's also afraid of other people hearing things. What would it be all right for other people to hear? So we could spread this all out onto a bracket, couldn't we? We, in other words, play this thing almost anyway. There's almost an infinity of questions here. We get emotion. Of course, there's an emotional level from the first to the eighth dynamic. And quite in addition to that, there are about eight very, very specific emotions. So we've got eight dynamics for each emotional scale. Look how this plots out for straight wire questions. And we've got effort for all eight dynamics, and we've got all kinds and types of effort. We have the force, ideas of force. We have electronic. We have mechanical effort. You know, there's lots of them. And the same way about thinking. There's all kinds of thinking. There's mathematical thinking. There's intuitive thinking, and there's spontaneous thinking and telepathic thinking. And you could get very complicated if you want to. Well, the funny part of it is that's what your preclear's brain's going to do the second you start asking him simple questions. See, he'll start racking around all over the place. And what you're looking at here is if you plot these eight dynamics at every level on the note of sex scale, and then plot the eight dynamics on each corner of the ARC triangle. And if you were actually to arrange the note of sex scale as a triangular column, you know, notice X at each corner of the column, and that triangle, bottom or top, were the ARC triangle. You see there, you get that picture? Let's take ARC at the bottom, pretty condensed, and we take it and apply it to sex. See? And then we have agreement and disagreement about sex, and then we have, over on another corner, why we have liking and other emotional reactions towards sex. And then we have, at the other corner, sexual communication. So that at each point there, we could take the note of sex scale totally in communication. Note of sex scale totally as it comes down the line in terms of affinity. And the note of sex scale totally in the form of reality, which is agreement. And we would have the nicest looking column there you ever wanted to see. It's the ARC triangle gone solid on us, and we plot it in chunks on the note of sex scale vertically. See, we just got a stack of triangles, a vertical stack of triangles. They're all lying there flat. You see that? Well, by the time we've pushed this around and drawn it around a few times and worked it around, we find out that, my golly, we're working with a jigsaw puzzle now, which can be plotted almost in any direction, and it comes up with practically the same answers. And it interweaves and interlocks, and these interweaves and interlocks and interrelationships are the basics of the complications known as life and human behavior and animal behavior and any other kind of behavior. I'm going to write a book sometime on behavior along all of the eight dynamics. It gets very interesting. When you get to the eighth dynamic, you have God behavior. Then you have to, of course, take into account all kinds of things, such as what is the acceptance level of God, and so forth. It gets very amusing after a while when you start plotting out behavior, but you could get awfully complicated in this line. You could sit down and you could write 10, 15 million word books without any trouble whatsoever, tracing out numerous examples and so forth. Well, it's so easy to get complicated that why don't you leave that up to your preclear? (Laughter) And why don't you stay with these great simplicities, such as the corners of the triangle, and the note of sex scale, and you find out he's studiously avoiding the third dynamic, why you take note of it sooner or later and ask him, well, what's something about groups he could agree with or he wouldn't mind experiencing? What kind of a group would he mind experiencing? Something like that. Just steer him a little bit, because he can get complicated enough. And your whole goal is a very simple goal. That's to give this individual some tolerance of viewpoints. Try to make him tolerate viewpoints wider and wider, more and more of them. And he will start changing his mind. And that is the first thing that processing ought to do, is change a preclear's mind. Process doesn't change a preclear's mind, isn't any good at all. And that's one thing this process does with rapidity. You say, now, let's say some kind of effort you wouldn't mind looking at. Oh, effort. Effort. Effort? What do you mean by effort? Just effort. Putting out some energy and so on. Let's see. Get this kind of a reaction. You're liable to get a long communication line. Now all of a sudden the individual happily thinks, ha, a dancer. I wouldn't mind watching a dancer. That's right, I wouldn't mind watching a dancer. Yeah, he's real certain now. He just wouldn't mind that at all. He has suddenly realized that effort was part of art. You've made him change his mind about effort to that degree that now he recognizes that effort is an essential part of existence, not something you would ignore all the time. The next thing you know, he will say, well, he wouldn't mind his mother doing housework. Wouldn't mind watching his mother doing housework. Think about all the complaining that he listened to when he was a little kid. And he all of a sudden reevaluates this whole thing. It served her right. Yeah. Anybody that unhappy about something or other ought to close terminals with it. And then he realizes that he himself has kept areas, even if they were only a summer camp and so forth, certainly clean and burnished bright, and maybe a compartment on a ship when he was in the service or something like that. He's kept that all duded up, and he's worked hard at this sort of thing, and he begins to wonder a little bit just what the devil his mother was talking about. It was a small house. There was only a couple of kids. There wasn't too much work to do. And all he ever heard about was how hard she worked. And now he's scratching his head wondering how this could come about. Well, he's liable to hit one of these tracks of association and want to soliloquize for the next 8 hours. You're not interested in consideration. You're interested in looking at. And that's all you're interested in. You're interested in looking at. You want him to tolerate viewpoints. You don't give a damn for his opinion about a viewpoint, because every time he starts to give you a bunch of considerations and stretch it all out and explain to you this and explain to you that, without suddenly damming his communication line, but by expertly detouring him, getting look at something else. Because you don't want him in the think band. You just landed him in the thinkingness band. Instead of looking, now he's perfectly willing to think. And do you know that he could probably go on thinking for the next 76 trillion years without getting any place with it? That's a solemn and horrible fact. The thinkingness doesn't happen to wind up in solutions. Thinkingness is based upon the fact that a person doesn't know, so he has to think about it. The solution depends upon the fact of his postulating that he does know, and then he knows. You see, in order to do thinking, you have to assume that you have to go through some kind of a process in order to arrive at an answer. Now, there's another horrible thing that happens about preclears, is you see, they have to have assumed an inability, assumed that they had an inability, before they have it. Now, look how this blocks processing. They have to assume that they can't do so-and-so in order to have it remedied. And you leave them parked there. I've gone into this several times. We didn't have a process which easily remedied it. But an individual has to assume he's sick before he can make up his mind to get well. The reason he's sick, basically, is in the postulate band. He's had to make a postulate that he's sick before he can make up his mind to get well. Now, if your preclair has had to make up his mind that he's aberrated before he can get sane, he's still writing on the postulate that he's aberrated. But he's still better off having made the postulate that he's aberrated so that he can get over his aberrations than to coast along gibbering like an idiot for years and years telling everybody how sane he is. You see, he'd be crossed up there in universe or something. Well, what does this do, this process, do for universes? We have the three kinds of universes, the other fellow's universe, the pre-clear's universe, and the physical universe. And what does it do for these universes? Well, any universe is essentially existent in the space created by lookingness. See, any universe exists from the center of lookingness. So if we think of Mama's universe, it's the point from which Mama is looking. See, if we think of Mama's universe. Now, we could take a terrific number of factors here that would complicate this universe, such as what does Mama say, what are her postulates, and so forth, and we get the space with the postulates. You see that? First, she has to have some space, one way or the other, and then she has to put some postulates in there to have a universe. The basic definition of a complete universe would be some space which is tenanted by postulates. Postulates, of course, might wind up in forms of various kinds, might wind up in various conditions. Now you can ask yourself someday, why is it you see this meshed universe so well? And if you look around, you will discover that there are many people around who are so thoroughly interiorized into Mama's universe or somebody else's universe that they actually see Mama's engrams. Now, you don't have to go very far to investigate this. You take a preclear who was very badly interiorized into some other person's universe than his own, they will see that other person's pictures and not their own. Now, get that. The fact that Mama made a postulate produced a visibility. Mama said, there are snakes, and this individual then very easily gets pictures of snakes. But he himself can say, in trying to put up mock-ups, there are flagpoles, and he doesn't get a mock-up of a flagpole. Curious, huh? If Mama had said there are flagpoles, he would be able to see flagpoles. You see that? He must be running on somebody else's postulates than his own. So the manifestation of super, super, super visibility, which is not the individual's super, super, super visibility. You know, the individual doesn't, when he puts up a mock-up, he doesn't get this much visibility on it. Yet he has terrific visibility on mock-up somebody else has put up, you know, like Mama's statements and so forth. You're looking at a condition there of living in somebody else's created space. Now, what would you think of somebody who could look out here and see a factory chimney with great ease, and yet couldn't mock one up of his own? You would suspect him of being in another universe, wouldn't you? Well, whose universe is he in? He's in the physical universe. That's the universe he's in. Its postulates are so strong and impressed upon him so strongly that its reality is much greater than his own reality. Therefore, we used to talk about, and in the book 8008, talk about agreement with the physical universe. You can agree with it or disagree with it, but as long as its postulates outweigh your own postulates, you're going to have difficulty. Now, there's a lot of complexity here that we needn't even look at. And that complexity, however, that we do need to look at, or part of it we do need to look at, is this. Look, an individual is in the physical universe, and then he's re-interiorized, you might say, into somebody else's universe, such as Mama's. And Mama's pictures are very bright to him, but his own mock-ups don't exist. Oh, boy. Now, the common denominator of universes declares for him that the physical universe is right there, you know? There is the physical universe. There it is. But he is not even in it. He has been in it and has, to some degree, he was in his own universe, and then he got into the physical universe, and now he went into his last wife's universe and his mother's universe, and he's in those universes. Well, man, there's no telling what kind of a mock-up this individual's liable to get if he gets any at all. Everything is kind of other-determined. If he gets any pictures, they're probably in a nightmare. He's running on somebody's declared statement that he resists all the time, and he goes to sleep, and his resistance cuts down. The next thing you know, he's in a full-arm play about something or other. Well, when your individual is departed from the physical universe into mama's universe and so forth on down the line, you've got this kind of a backtrack to walk with your preclear. He's got to get out of his mama's universe and into the physical universe. Now, the only way he ever gets into a universe is by refusing to tolerate its viewpoints. If he refuses to look, he pins himself in the universe with his own energy and turns off the visio. There's two necessary steps here. He interiorizes by resisting. He goes into the universe by resisting the universe. A viewpoint he doesn't want is the one he gets. You see that? Because he's the only person really capable of putting out energy. So he is granted another determinism, and having granted this other determinism, it backfires on him. Now, let's look at this physical universe out here and discover that an individual has as much perception in it and of it as he will tolerate its viewpoints. And you're not going to get anybody out of mama's universe, really, or out of the physical universe, until they can tolerate a viewpoint or an effort point or a sex point of any part of the whole darn universe. And when they will tolerate any point in it, any view, any effort, either as cause or as effect, they are then capable of withdrawing from that universe. Until they can tolerate all the various viewpoints of that universe, they can't withdraw from it. So your preclear is going to think at first that you're just pushing him into apathy, because you're asking him to tolerate things. And if he knows anything, it's this, that if he tolerates those viewpoints, it'll finish him. And that's the funny part of it. It is only by refusing to tolerate him that he gets finished. So the course and direction of this processing is to bring about the greatest possible tolerance or the greatest possible number of viewpoints.